Now let's consider one of the most influential economics books of all time, and that's Thomas Robert Malthus on population. It's called An Essay on the Principle of Population, and the first edition was published in 1798. But note, there are 6 editions, and the later editions have more material and more qualifications and more complexities. But we're going to start with the first edition, which is the simplest and the easiest to read. Malthus is often portrayed as a theorist of population, and of course that's correct, but I think of him as obsessed with 2 different but closely related concepts, and those are misery and vice, to use his own words. Let's see how this whole picture fits together. Malthus was concerned with combating some ideas of his time, which he associated with Godwin and Condorcet, and these ideas related to the perfectibility of man and the ability to create some kind of utopia here on Earth. Malthus was skeptical. In his writings on population, I read him as trying to explain why misery and vice, these 2 key concepts, are something mankind can never get away from. By the way, note that Malthus was himself a reverend, and you can also read him as in some ways arguing against some of the more secular thinkers of his time. There are 2 key assumptions in Malthus's argument, and he lays them out pretty directly. The first assumption simply is that you need food. The second assumption, and here I'm quoting Malthus, is, quote, "the passion between the sexes is necessary." Malthus strongly believed that human population was subject to what he called a geometric increase. So, for instance, if you started with 2 people, you would then end up with 4 after they had children, and then their children would give you 8, and you would get to 16 and 32, and so on. Malthus stated it pretty clearly. He thought that human population had a tendency to double roughly every 25 years. If you're wondering, by the way, Malthus grew up in a family of 7, and later, he and his own wife, they had 3 children. In any case, there is this tendency for a multiplication of human beings. But the question is, will the food supply be there to support this, or must the numbers of human beings eventually contract due to famine, war, pestilence, and other forms of negative events? The problem is when you get to the food supply, and there Malthus sees the potential for only what he calls an arithmetic increase. So you could imagine having a plot of land, which initially yields you, say, 25, and then you might double your yield, so 25 would go up to 50. But in Malthus's view, in the next period, you're not going to go up from 50 to 100, and then 100 and 200, that basically every period maybe you can increase productivity by 25, so then you would go from 50 to 75, and what you can see here is that the food supply, its tendency is to be increasing at a slower pace than human population. If we go back to the premise that human beings need to eat, obviously here there is a problem. It's a mistake, by the way, to read Malthus as suggesting that the geometric increase of human population and the arithmetic increase of the food supply were absolutely necessary quantitative regularities. From Malthus, they really are just tendencies, and they can be counteracted by the actions of human beings, for instance, by postponing marriage. But nonetheless, it's these tendencies which make human existence difficult, because population is always pressing on the food supply. When it came to economic policy, Malthus, in his first edition, he was very critical of the poor laws. Basically, he thought that by supporting poor people, they increased population without increasing the means of support for that population. Subsequently, Malthus very often was considered to have a cruel point of view on this issue. Here's a good illustrative quotation from Malthus, and it shows the direction his thought is headed. And here I quote, "To these 2 great checks to population in all long-occupied countries, which I have called the preventive and the positive checks, may be added vicious customs with respect to women, great cities, unwholesome manufactures, luxury, pestilence, and war. All these checks may be fairly resolved into misery and vice." In other words, I read Malthus as saying it really is possible to have a population which is not at every point in time outracing the food supply, but the way you get there is by having a certain amount of misery and some number of individuals dying, be it through starvation or war, or you have really a very high degree of moral restraint, that is, individuals postponing marriage. In my reading of Malthus, it's a key question to ask, what does he really mean by vice? Because he uses that phrase repeatedly. So, for instance, he writes, this restraint, meaning the moral restraint of postponing marriage and childbearing, this restraint almost necessarily, though not absolutely so, produces vice. So is Malthus saying here that if you postpone childbearing, you are led to, say, visit prostitutes or have illicit sexual relations with women? I think that is what he's saying. There's one way of reading the essay on population, you might even call it a Straussian or underground reading, which suggests that what Malthus is actually proposing is a fair amount of vice. And he's saying that if men pursue vice, that is, loose sexual relationships with women, in lieu of marriage and childbearing, that that actually may be less bad than the relevant alternatives. And here we have a reverend writing a book, which essentially is in some ways a defense of vice, in the same ways that Bernard Mandeville defended vice, but Malthus can't just come right out and say that. I'm not sure that's the correct reading of Essay on Population, but it's one interesting way of thinking about the book, namely as a defense of vice and postponed marriage. But as Malthus points out, if a man is going to postpone marriage, he will look to satisfy his desires one way or another. There's plenty to read on Malthus and by Malthus. The Essay on Population is fun reading. It's available online. I recommend the version from the Library of Economics and Liberty, and they have posted both the first and sixth editions of the work. You should also see our associated video on whether Malthus has turned out to be correct, and that's called The Malthusian Argument. If you're looking for a historian of thought to read on Malthus, I would recommend starting with Samuel Hollander. And of course, you can just Google Malthus's name and many other of the keywords in this video.